I'm Tony Sikora from, I live actually in just in Steele County. I'm a Fremont County Farm Bureau member from District 1, which is the southeastern part of the state. I'm the oncoming chairman to the P&E, which is the Promotion and Education Committee for the state of Minnesota. Me and my wife farm. We rent about 230 acres from a neighbor, and then my wife is a off-farm nurse for the Mayo Clinic in Owatonna, and then I also work for a friend, kind of farm with him, so to speak. They got a family operation with four turkey barns besides. And then me and another friend own a trucking business. During the summer, I haul fresh sweet corn for a canning company, based out of Owatonna.
Well, Tony, you live a busy life and you've had a busy Friday. Talk about some of the activities you've participated in today.
Yeah, so we started out this morning. There's about 20 of us in a room. Got trained for a group of people, went to some local classrooms here in Bloomington at a elementary school. Talked to some second, third, and fourth graders, I believe it was, about agriculture. Beef was kind of the main topic, but agricultural in general and what happens on farms and stuff. The kids really get a kick out of that, and in the city here, more that you don't. Some of them maybe have grandparents that have an acreage or something, but most of them don't have any farm experience, so they enjoy that when we come there. We try and do that every year here and other times throughout the year to classrooms all over. And then there was six of us that went to a local Hy-Vee store here in the cities, met with their dietitian lady, and then went on for about 2 hours, just engaged and gave out some free samples of beef and pork to consumers walking through the store. They got to get some little samples from us and then just ask us any questions they had about farms and food safety and anything like that they were worried about, and just got to interact with people and try and assure them that we are producing the most safe and reliable food source that we can as farmers in agriculture today. Then we came back here and had a little lunch ourselves as a group, and then we did a service project, and we made meals for families. For basically, they pick out, or they can, when they get students in schools that they can tell are having problems and stuff, and if the families need help. And we packed like a meal kit for them with vegetables and meat, canned meat and macaroni and cheese and different things. And it's supposed to be like, kind of like a meal for that kid or maybe, the family for a whole weekend, to get that family through on a weekend when maybe they're having a little hard time. It feels good to help out others. We really enjoyed it. We had about 40 volunteers, and we packed about 500 bags today.
That's awesome. Now, Tony, when you are talking to a class or you're talking to consumers at a grocery store, do you feel like progress is being made in informing people more about modern agricultural production and maybe demystifying it a little bit, or clearing up some of those misconceptions that some people have about farming?
Yeah, that's our hope. The whole reason for doing that is, if people have a worry or, a thought in their mind, hey, are people really trying to be as safe as they can? You see all this bad publicity. We're trying to get out there and give them the good message that, we do everything we can to produce the best and safest product we can on those food shelves for you to, purchase and enjoy, like we all do.
There are a lot of schools across the state and a lot of grocery stores. You can't be in all of them. So what are some other ways in which you're trying to reach those people?
Well, on another level too, here at the annual meeting, and throughout the year, we try and promote this and train, people on a county level, like we did at the Hy-Vee today. Maybe at your county level, if you got two, three farmers, get together and just go set up a table on a Friday afternoon for two, 3 hours and just say, hey, we are farmers, do you understand that we are trying to produce, just get that message out there that, we're not trying to have bad products or, you know, have this stuff that you see on the TV. We're trying to do our best job we can to have the best and safest product we can.
Do the kids or do some of the adults at the grocery store ask about chemicals, ask about water quality, ask about how you treat livestock? Do they ask about those things, or are they mostly timid about and let you do most of the talking?
Oh, you get some questions, and some of them are pretty interesting, actually. But yeah, a lot of it's, you know, and once you get them started, you know, once you get the interaction going, then they're more willing to ask those questions. And then you can, yeah, you know, we put buffers along our ditch, and we, you know, whatever each individual does on their farm to make things safer is, you know, the message that you have to tell them. You know, I mean, I can't tell them what Joe Blow down the road is doing because I'm not on his farm. I don't know what he's doing, but I know what we do on our place. We're variable rating stuff. We're doing sampling things. We're doing the stuff that, and I can tell them what we're doing from my standpoint to make things the best, safest product is probably the message I would say.
And I would argue that that has more impact than if you have an article or somebody speaking on behalf of farmers as a collective that this is what they're doing. When they can actually talk to a farmer face-to-face and hear about what that specific farmer is doing on their specific land, I mean, that to me makes more of a difference.
Oh, yeah. When you're talking to the actual producer himself and I can sit there and say, this is what I do, you know, that's a true message. And, you know, they're going to take that more to heart coming from me than, yeah, reading it somewhere or hearing it on a radio or something. When they can hear that physical word coming from me that says, hey, I do this, or I show them a picture that, hey, this is what we do on our farm, you know, that gives a true meaning, and I think it gives a more in-depth or, you know, thorough explanation and understanding to them that, hey, we are trying.
Tony, on the food drive, packing meals today, I mean, anybody that would participate in something like that, that's a feel-good thing. But I would think for a farmer, it has an extra special meaning because that's what you do is you grow the food, you produce the food that the people eat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's fun, you know, when you get a group like that and you can pack. We did those 450 or 500 meals in probably literally like 45 minutes, you know, and it's all right. Yeah, it's, you know, and it's great because a lot of that stuff was donated to us by local Minnesota companies. Everything kind of had a Minnesota basis, what we shot for even, you know, so it was a great, you know, we appreciate all those donations for all that stuff. And yeah, when you can say, you know, hey, maybe you think of a box of Kraft macaroni and cheese. Well, for years I helped milk cows. You know, we were selling milk. I mean, not that it necessarily was in that box, but, hey, it's still part of that group. I mean, you're still, you know, you feel like you're contributing with everything that's there. You know, the cereal, you know. I've raised wheat in the past, you know. Where's that wheat go? You know, somewhere it's going to more than likely some kind of cereal or something. So it's, you know, it gives you that connection that, yeah, you were a part of that. And maybe you didn't necessarily create that box, but you're part of that group and creating that whole food source.
Well, Tony, let's end on what you helped produce in 2018. How'd your crops do?
Pretty well, actually, considering our area. We started out kind of on a wet note this spring, and I actually raised sweet corn for the first time this year and did pretty well with that. And it was kind of fun because I've hauled sweet corn myself for like 15, well, maybe 18 years now. And now I actually got, for this year, got to haul my own sweet corn. It was a pretty good feeling to do that. And yeah, it actually did pretty well. And just finished up harvest here about 10 days ago. And it was kind of up and down. The beans were pretty good. Corn was hit and miss. I mean, some corn was good, some corn was bad. You know, it was just kind of all varied on the area. And when it got planted, some of it, like I said, we had some wet time this spring early, and some stuff got planted on some rough conditions and a little thin, and places where, you know, there was some compaction issues and stuff. And now the freeze-up came a little early. There's a lot of tillage left to do around us, and I can't say for sure yet, but the way it looks, some of that probably ain't going to get done this fall. So that might make for a challenging spring next year when there's still tillage not done. And And it's not just us, it's everybody in our area. You know, the freeze-up came a little early for us because there's still people harvesting even. So it's been an interesting fall, too. You know, even hauling sweet corn all summer, we got pushed back because of rain. We were very wet most of the summer, and this year's just kind of been one of those years that, you know, you kind of look back now that we're almost done, and it's like we're ready to turn the page and see what 2019 brings for us. Hopefully it's a little better year.
I think a lot of farmers feel that way. Tony, I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.